Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Tuesday, July the 10th. A kind of humid, but also a bit rainy kind of day here in Dallas, Texas. We don't usually get a lot of rain in July, so every time we get a little bit of rain, we're actually very happy because, as I say, we don't usually get a lot of rain. Well, today we're going to talk about Judge Kavanaugh. He is President Trump's appointment or nomination to the Supreme Court. I got a few thoughts about him and what it all means, and what does this mean? I mean, what exactly, what does it say about our political rhetoric? What does it say about our country at the moment? It's what we saw last night. The response from the Democrats last night was so hysterical to this man. I mean, they're making this man out to be this sinister man who's going to take your rights away, which is really ridiculous. I mean, we've been hearing this ever since. I cannot remember the last time. I mean, it just seems that every time we have a Republican nominated to the Supreme Court, it's the same old garbage about we're going to take your rights away and all of that. And I guess maybe the Democrats feel that they got away with it with Bork and that they're going to do it with everybody else. It hasn't really worked on the people since Bork. I think with Bork, frankly, Bork was not prepared for what was for the attack. He wasn't able to resist the attack. And so at the end, he didn't have the personality. And I think maybe Bork was too much of an intellectual. He couldn't quite deal with that kind of a purely emotional attack. It got better with Justice Thomas. I think Justice Thomas stood up to it and said, hey, I'm not going to back down. And I think it was better then, of course, with Roberts and with Alito and with Gorsuch, because they went in there knowing what they were going to get. And they basically said, look, folks, I cannot tell you who I'm going to vote. I'm sorry, I cannot tell you who I'm going to vote. So 60,000 questions about Roe v. Wade, and they just politely said, hey, I'm sorry, I cannot tell you how I'm going to vote. And I just think that that's probably what this judge is going to do, Kavanaugh. He has the right makeup. I mean, he comes from the – I guess he's been at the circuit, the D.C. circuit, for the last 10 years or so. That's a good training ground for the Supreme Court. I understand from my reading that that's where a lot of Supreme Court justices come from. He has the right education. He seems to have the right demeanor, and obviously the photos that we saw of him and his wife and his two daughters, he's got a beautiful family. He seems to be a very good community guy in the neighborhood where he lives. People have very good impressions of him. So I think overall this was a very good pick by President Trump. But again, we go back to the reaction, and it's all about abortion, and that's what makes me, frankly, it makes me angry, because it's all about abortion. It's all about Roe v. Wade. And the reaction is so over the top that I don't think it's going to work. Last night, as I understand, and I don't have all the story correct, so I'm going to guess a little bit in what I'm about to say. But I understand last night Fox News was going to do a broadcast from the Supreme Court, and the crowds were so hostile, not just to Fox News, but everybody, that Fox News decided, you know what, we're not going to do this from the Supreme Court. And this is unacceptable when people engage in this kind of behavior. You can disagree with the judge, but my God, does it have to get this personal and potentially violent? You had these women last night screaming. I mean, just screaming. We have to stop this guy. We have to defend our reproductive rights, whatever in the world that means. And I just think it's over the top, and it's so over the top that it's going to backfire against the Democrats. Well, now, where we are right now, of course, is that he's going to do the rounds. He's going to personally visit all 100 senators. And we've seen this before. He goes in. Usually somebody brings a sort of – he has like an escort, usually a former senator. Today, I think it was Vice President Pence who took him around. And eventually there will be, some other senators who will take him around, and he'll visit with all of the senators, and they'll get to ask him questions directly. And then, of course, come the confirmation hearings, And this is when every senator gives a 10-minute speech, and every Democrat senator will give a 10-minute speech about how Roe v. Wade can never be reversed because whatever. And then after that, after they go through all these confirmations, and well, not there's one confirmation, but I mean all the speeches and all the questions. And again, he's going to get 75,000 questions about abortion. And then after that, I guess the committee, after that, the committee recommends confirmation. And he should be able to get that because there's a Republican majority in the committee. And then it goes to the floor. And then on the floor, he will be confirmed. I'm pretty sure he'll have the numbers to be confirmed. And it gets better for Judge Kavanaugh because we understand that Senator McCain, who is in very bad health and probably won't be able to go to Washington for the vote or may have to be brought in for the vote, he has already expressed his support for Judge Kavanaugh. So he's in. McCain is in. So that basically leaves you three Republican senators, the lady from Maine, Ms. Collins, the lady from Alaska, Ms. Murkowski, I think Murkowski is her name, and then Rand Paul. Rand Paul is always the wild card because he is more of a libertarian, really, than a Republican, and I think he's a bit concerned about some of the issues regarding data gathering and stuff like that. So Rand Paul is always going to be interesting, but I think at the end of the day, all of those three, all of the Republicans, all 51 Republicans, will vote for Judge Kavanaugh. I just don't see any reason why they wouldn't. And especially, I also think the more irrational, the more hysterical the Democrats get about the judge, the more likely that they will lose any Republican defection. I mean, because if you're a Republican, you see these attacks on Judge Kavanaugh, you're going to, hey, I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to support this guy. I'm going to stick with the party. So anyway, I think he'll get in. He'll get in. He may. I think the politics of confirmation, though, is really interesting here. The politics of confirmation, because is he going to get any red state Democrats? I think he will. You know, Neil Gorsuch got three. I think it was North Dakota, Indiana, and West Virginia. He got those three red state Democrats. All of them are up for reelection. And my guess is that Judge Kavanaugh will get at least those three. And maybe one more, Doug Jones in Alabama, and perhaps the other two as well, the Montana and Missouri. So I think at the end of the day, he'll get 51 plus a few more. He will be in the Supreme Court. And I guess we'll just have to watch this hysterical sideshow for the next 60 days. It's really bad. I mean, I think it's really bad for the country when we put the country through this. It devalues the offices. It devalues the Supreme Court. It turns the Supreme Court into nothing more than another political office, when in fact that's not what the Supreme Court is supposed to be. The Supreme Court is supposed to be the non-political branch. This is where we put people who aren't supposed to be political. They're just judges. I mean, they're not supposed to be political. So it's an awful, I mean, the image of all of this, it is absolutely awful for the country. And the poison in the water is just going to get worse after this. I tell you, it is bad. I think it's terrible for the country to put the country through this kind of a poisonous confirmation. I don't care what side you're on. I don't care what side you're on, whether you believe in abortion or don't believe in abortion. It's not even the issue anymore. I just think it comes down to whether or not the people of the United States, as I believe, should have the opportunity to vote yes and no on abortion. To me, the big mistake of Roe v. Wade was that it took away my opportunity to say yes or no to abortion here in Texas. And that's why I think Roe v. Wade will eventually be overturned, and then we here in Texas will have the opportunity to say yes or no about Roe v. Wade. And it's not going to be imposed by a Supreme Court justice, which is, I think, the big mistake of Roe v. Wade. We're going to take a little break. I want you to hear from my friend Carlos Geddes, and then we'll be right back.
I'd like to see you guys this Saturday night at Sisiki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Sisiki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we have a link to all of that on the show information right under the show description. You can see a link to Carlo's website, and you can learn about his different plans here in the Dallas area. We say happy number 64 today, by the way, to Andre Dawson, Hall of Fame baseball player, who is probably known to most people because of his great years with the Chicago Cubs in the late 80s, but he also had some great years with the Montreal Expos in the late 70s when he first came up. So Andre Dawson, one of the super great baseball players of all time. And on this day in 1941, Joe DiMaggio got to number 50 on his way to 56. This is, again, we've talked about this before. I think this is the most amazing streak of any sport. 56 games, getting a base hit. It is, in my opinion, the most amazing thing because of the fact that you play baseball every day and you've got to go out there every single day for 56 games and get a base hit. I mean, the fact that number two on the list is 44 and the fact that number three on the list is like 39 or 41, that just tells you how difficult it is to go from 44 to 56. 44, of course, was Pete Rose in 1978. You know, I have a post coming out, getting back to the confirmation of Judge Kavanaugh. I have a post coming out on Wednesday morning about all of this, and I argue that one of the biggest problems for Roe v. Wade, one of the things going against Roe v. Wade, is the fact that technology is giving us more and more information about the pregnancy and what is going on in the early months of the pregnancy. And you know, now you have the ability, for example, I was reading a medical report. Now you have the ability anywhere from 6 to 12 weeks to actually hear the heartbeat of the baby inside the mother. And that, of course, has given rise to a very interesting law that was passed by the state of Iowa, which probably will end up in the Supreme Court eventually over the next couple of years. And this particular law says that if there is a heartbeat, you cannot have an abortion. Of course, when is there a heartbeat? Well, as I say, according to the medical report that I saw, it could be any time from 6 to 12 weeks. So that would eliminate a lot of early abortions because most abortions happen in the first 90 days. But one way or the other, technology, I think, is giving us the kind of information, the kinds of these pictures, the ability to see a baby in its early stages, the ability to hear the heartbeat of a baby. So technology, in a weird sort of way, is actually making it more and more difficult for a woman to say, it's my body and I'm going to do with it whatever I want. Well, it is your body, I'll grant you that, and you can do with it, I suppose, whatever you want, as long as you understand that there may be a heartbeat inside your body beating, a regular heartbeat, that you will stop by having an abortion. And, you know, the post that I am writing, it says that the title of the post, or the idea of the post, is that the little heartbeat inside your body would like you to get a second opinion before you have an abortion, meaning this little heartbeat is telling you, hey, mom, you're taking me with you. You're taking my life when you decide to do whatever you want with your body. So I think we're entering a period now where the real threat to Roe v. Wade is not going to be politicians, it's not going to be the right wing, not going to be the religious right, not going to be Republicans. I think technology and the fact that we are learning so much about these early pregnancies, I really believe that is going to be the biggest threat to Roe v. Wade, and why 3 or 4 years from now this whole issue could look totally different as we learn more and more about a pregnancy, at least find out more and more that there is indeed a life inside that lady. And so when you say it's my body, I can do with it, you know, I can do with my body whatever I want. Well, not really, because we now have a heartbeat that confirms that there's something inside your body that if you terminate your pregnancy, you're taking somebody's life. So it's a fascinating thing, and technology is turning out the biggest friend of the pro-life movement. Well, thank you for listening, folks. Have a wonderful day. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we will talk to you next time.